And away we go here on this Monday, Veterans Day, 2019, Monday, November the 11th, 2019. What is that? 11-11-19. How about that? 8:11 in the a.m. You're tuned into The Early Show. Scott Spears along with you for the ride, and this is a show you're not going to want to miss. By the way, just a quick programming note. We're going to have all kinds of programming this week in regard to the historic hearings that will go down, I believe, Wednesday and Friday this week. The House will be hearing testimony into the impeachment inquiry of President Donald Trump. So as the week goes on, we're not going to pick a side, but we're going to have news people on. And we're lining some of those up right now, so I don't want to give you any names, but I would tune in every morning from 8 to 10 to see who's going to be on, and we'll try to recap that the best we can, because I know it can be confusing, and I know a lot of people are at work and don't get to watch the hearings, so hopefully we'll be able to recap that here every morning with people who are covering that extensive coverage. And Friday morning, Jeff Ruth is going to be along with us for the 2 hours, sitting in with us. So that'll be Friday morning. But today we're joined by one of my favorite people without question for the 2 hours right here in studio. She has always been a pal to come in. I don't think she's been in though since Charlie's birthday party, which we had a lot of fun with back in September. She has recently had two schools in the Marion area named for her, which, by the way, the only living person to ever have that done with Marion City Schools, and the only woman to ever have that done with any school in Marion, to my knowledge. She was and is the 40th treasurer of the United States of America under President Bill Clinton. 50 years ago this year, she ran for public office for the first time, starting with the Elgin School Board, and 25 years ago this year, she was sworn in as 40th treasurer of the United States. By Lloyd Benson and Vice President Al Gore at the time. What a list of accomplishments, and so glad she's still here. And by the way, a lot of those accomplishments reside in a museum at Primrose, and if you ever want to go through that, call Primrose and you can set up an appointment, or you can call Mary Ellen and set up an appointment. I believe that still goes, and to have her take you through that is an amazing thing. And this is the time of year to go, because the presidential Christmas ornaments are something to see for sure. Now, after that big introduction, here she is, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, how are you?
I'm just fine, Scott.
Do we know who the ornament is this year?
This year it was Eisenhower. Next year it will be Nixon. I'm anxious to see what they come up with for Nixon.
The Watergate Hotel.
That would, you know, that might be it.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't
well,
it?
Well, Eisenhower was the helicopter, because he was the first president to ride in a helicopter.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Tell people a little bit, because I found this so interesting, and they're all on display at your museum. Tell a little bit about these Christmas ornaments and how they happen.
Well, it started back in 1981 when the White House Historical Society decided to recognize a president every year. And they started with Washington, of course, and it was a real simple looking ornament, very plain. And then they kept each year they came out with another president in the order that they were president, and they became more complicated, more intense, and they always had something they were representing of that president. For instance, on Truman, they had the Truman balcony and the Blue Room, which were the two things that they worked on while he was there. And Roosevelt, they had the shape of the radio that you listened to hear the fireside chats, you know, and four stars over the radio, which meant four terms. And it's just fascinating to look at them. They're beautiful. The ornaments are just gorgeous.
Now, these are on display at your museum.
Yes,
out at
right.
Primrose.
Yeah.
In your own home, are you a big decorator for the holiday season?
No, not anymore. I used to be, but I don't bother anymore. I go over to Primrose and look at their decorations.
Which are beautiful.
They just go all out, and I just get a lot of enjoyment out of looking at theirs. But I don't put up a tree. I don't get involved at all.
When you were in Washington, I think probably only second to New York, Washington, D.C. has to be the city for the holiday season.
Yes. Well, you've got the White House,
yeah. You
know, and you've got a million trees in there. And what I enjoyed the most was the tree that represented the United States. They would have things on there from every state, and I would always look for what Ohio had. But the trees were gorgeous. I mean, just gorgeous.
When you think of this time of year, what are we, less than 20 days away from Thanksgiving, Christmas right around the corner after that, what does it mean to you at this point, being back around your family here in town?
Oh, I'm just very relaxed. I don't get involved in things very much as far as Christmas. We have our celebration in our family, but I just don't do much anymore. Yeah.
Are you do you like to go out and shop for gifts and things?
No,
like?
No. I go to the money route.
And I think people like that better now.
Well, whatever, but that's what I don't know what they want. Everything is so different as far as what kids want, you know, unless I would go for clothes. It's interesting. I think probably most people go the route of money that are my age.
I think it just, the stores still, even in this internet age, are mobbed. It's tough to go there during the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And were you ever much into wrapping things and everything that goes with Christmas?
Well, I always tried to get the stores to wrap. I was not a good wrapper.
I've tried to be over the years, but
have
I've
you?
Never perfected it.
Well, I went to the sack, you know, where you put the tissue paper in the sack and go that route. You don't have to wrap it.
That's right. And it looks nice.
Yeah,
it
right.
looks nice underneath the tree.
Right.
Mary Ellen, since last time we spoke, the official meeting happened with the Marion City School Board, in which the two alternative schools here in Marion were named in your honor, and the ceremony got a little bit of national attention, which was nice. What was that like? What was that day like?
Oh, it was great. As I said, it was the most fun I ever had at a school board meeting. I'm going this Thursday. They're going to hang my pictures inside the schools on Thursday.
Oh, really?
And, I had these two pictures that I hadn't placed anywhere that were pretty good sized. And I said, well, that's perfect. I said, that's what I've been saving them for, although I didn't know that.
That's right. That's a good place for them to be.
Yeah, right.
Now, is that something they will be doing an event for, or the public will be able to come?
I don't know. They called me about it, but I don't know if the public's invited or not. I don't know what else it is other than just hanging the picture, although they're going to take me through the school. But I asked earlier about, you know, my name, and I guess Tri Rivers is working on the name to put up, and so that'll be, if that's going to happen, I don't know when, so I don't know.
When I saw the pictures from the school board meeting, one of the things that stuck out to me was the cake that they had.
Oh, that cake was gorgeous.
Wasn't that something?
Yes. You know, that person at L&P can really do good things because, you know, I saw what she did with Charlie, which was perfect. And then that dollar bill it was fantastic. Yeah.
They and it's my understanding she does not silkscreen, that she really does these things. She
yeah.
paints them on there with icing. I
yeah.
can't imagine how she does it.
I can't either. Well, I guess she has a picture right there, and she just follows the picture. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
When you think about that now that some time has settled about having these schools named for you, what does it mean to you?
Oh, I mean, it's immense. for me. First of all, I never ever thought that would happen. And then when I heard about it, I thought it took a while to absorb. It was such a surprise because I had no idea. But I'm thrilled. I'm just thrilled to have two schools named after me.
Mm. Yeah. Want to talk a little bit, just because it so happens to be Veterans Day. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
Well, I've got a grandson-in-law that was in the Marines for 20 years, but other than that, and my son-in-law was in the Korean War. Other than that, we didn't have anybody in the service. My family were farmers, and I know my dad always signed up to go, but they never took him. It's a little bit removed from me, to be honest. Yeah.
It's an interesting day because I'm not really sure. I know when I was younger that I really understood what it meant, because it's not celebrated like Memorial Day or mm-hmm. Labor Day. I don't even think some schools might be out, but I don't think a lot of them even are out today, even though it's a federal holiday.
Yeah, I don't know.
Want to talk about this project that I heard about. They're producing, is it a video biography of your life?
Yes.
How did this come about?
Well, my daughter went to the Historical Society and said, you know, we need to do something when I'm no longer around with my museum, because it won't continue to be at Primrose. And so they were thrilled to have the chance to have it. And then they said, and my daughter said, it would be great if you could record her talking about the events of her life. And so that's how it started. And they've been marvelous about it. I mean, they've had the people that are going to film me come out and look at the museum and my villa and how they're going to do it. And I have yet to talk to the woman that's going to interview me. But I was just thrilled about that, too, because something like that, it's not easy to have done, and it costs money. And so I'm very happy that that's going to happen.
Have they done any of the interview process yet?
Well, not really. The people that were filming it are sort of in their mind on how they want to handle that part. But I have, as I said, I have yet to meet the woman that's going to interview me.
It's an interesting project, and it's my understanding that the Historical Society is still raising funds to cover this, but it's coming in pretty good.
Is it?
That's what I understand.
Well, they told me not to worry about it.
That's good. They'll get it taken care of.
Yeah,
that's right. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Last Tuesday's election, being back in Marion, what did you make of that whole thing?
Well, you know, I always get excited on election day. It's just like I'm still running, and I'm hoping for the best with the people that I want to win. I'm just very happy that Scott Schertzer won as mayor, because I think he's done an excellent job. And and I was glad to see the council go the way that it did. Yeah.
What did you make of the auditor's race?
Well, I was surprised, really, at that, and I don't know that I'm very thrilled about the things that have happened there. You know, you need to follow the laws, and you're just not supposed to be doing certain things that they evidently were doing. So that's all I can say about that, you know.
A lot of people have said since then that maybe they just didn't know the laws. Maybe it was an
everybody knows that law. Everybody knows the law that you don't pass out things. Yeah.
When you go to run for an office, which you have done many times, what do you have to make yourself aware of before you go campaign?
Well, of the things you shouldn't do, and you don't do those things. Why take a chance?
Is there a long list of things that you find out that you can't do?
No, I don't think so. No, you'd think the list would be longer, really.
They just go all out.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, it's not easy running for office. I give anybody credit that runs for office because, you know, if you want to be criticized, just run for office. And nobody wants to be criticized. But that's what the way it ends up. And it's getting, I think it's really a serious thing anymore to think about because it's so bitter out there, very bitter. People need to lighten up a little bit.
Well, this is something interesting. I was having dinner last night with somebody, and I said, my goodness, everybody I know, I think, is under some kind of investigation. I've never seen anything like this before.
Is that right?
I don't know how it happened. Yeah. Everybody's a little amped up, and I've never seen a time like that before.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it comes from the top, and I think that's where it's at.
Want to talk about this because this week is historic in a lot of ways that I think for the first time since 1998 when Clinton was impeached, we're going to have impeachment hearings and they're going to be public on Wednesday and Friday. Do you think it's a good idea to make them public?
Oh, yeah, I think it has to be. Yeah.
I hear that a lot of networks are going to break into their coverage and cover these things in full, which that tells you the weight of what this is going to be.
Well, I remember the Nixon hearings, and I didn't miss hardly a thing. I was right there.
Well, they are really, they turn into kind of a way, a little bit of theater because it's the
it's theater
because the witnesses know they're on television and the Congress people know they're on television.
Sometimes they get carried away.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about because during all these confirmation hearings and any time that they know they're on television and it's Democrat and Republican, I don't know that they ask a question. They take their 3 minutes saying something.
Talking about their career.
Yeah, talking about...
Well, I guess they're going to have the staff do the questioning. Isn't that what they're saying?
I heard that was... It could be.
And that's the... I think that's the reason.
So they don't get up there and grandstand
it
up.
Yeah, right. They don't campaign. Yeah.
We've had President Trump now for 3 years. Just 3 years at this point. Why do you think this is the thing? We went through the Mueller probe. We went through all the investigations of him. The emoluments clause has been brought up. But this is the thing that Nancy Pelosi decided we have to act on, this Ukraine call. Why do you think that was the thing?
Well, it's pretty bad. I mean, she could not let this go by. And to have the president go to another country and ask for help against his opponent, it's unreal. And people are starting to talk like that's okay. It's not okay. It's terrible.
For people who maybe are not in politics or do not follow it, why is that such a big no-no?
Well, our election is ours, nobody else's. No other country should be involved in our elections because that's the Constitution. They've got to read the Constitution once in a while to remember what we're supposed to do here.
As we head into an election year, it's my understanding that the Democrats do want to have the impeachment vote before the end of the year. Now, whether that'll happen or not, I don't know, but they want to do it because they don't want that being the story once the primary voting starts in January. Do you think they can get it done? We're getting awful close.
Well, I don't know. I think we'll know more after we hear the first few days of this on how fast it will go and exactly who's going to testify. Certain people, I think, will make this go a little bit faster. And, you know, if it goes the way it should, the public will see what's going on here and understand it better. Everything has been so in a shadow, like because of Bill Barr and some other people on what actually happened with the Mueller report, that nobody said, nobody I know has read the Mueller report, except I've got one friend that read it, said it took her $70 to copy it. But
that's dedication.
Yeah. Well, she gets involved.
It will happen on television. I assume it will have a big audience. It seems like it will.
I think it will. Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance at this point, starting this process, that the Democratic House does not impeach him? Now, of course, that's not removal. But do you think there's any chance that they put it to a vote at the end and he's not impeached?
Oh, I think he's going to be impeached by the House. You know, everything else is a question.
And that brings us to that question. Is there any chance at all that the Senate would ever vote to remove him?
If the public really got behind this, they would, but they'd have to get good numbers from the public before they will change their mind.
Do you think when the Founding Fathers were laying out this process, that was their idea?
You know, they had no idea what was going to come down the road for everything in the years to come. But they did a marvelous job on setting this up. I just marvel at it all the time.
Is this, I heard somebody say yesterday on one of the Sunday shows, is this really a political event? Aside from whether Donald Trump did break the law or didn't, does this bottom line from now on, the hearings, the impeachment vote, the removal vote, is that all just a matter of politics and polls?
No, he broke the law by asking another country to help in our election. It's as simple as that. You don't do that.
How does the Senate, if we find that to be absolutely true, how does the Senate vote to keep him in?
Because they are standing by him and breaking their histories in down the road are going to look pretty bad because of what they're doing. They're saying all sorts of things. They're changing it as they go, but they're still standing up for him who has broken the law by asking another country to help in our election. You don't do that.
You have a very unique perspective on this. Not that you were in the House or the Senate when Clinton's impeachment was going down, but you were there.
Yes,
you were
I
in
was
Washington.
There.
Yeah. You were in a position of high authority.
Yeah.
You were appointed by this man.
Mm-hmm.
You were in his cabinet. Yet,
no, I wasn't in his
not his cabinet,
no.
But you were appointed by him and
yes,
a part of his administration. I guess is the word I'm using. You were part of his administration. You were currently in that position, and yet he did break the law. He perjured himself, which is what they
yes,
did.
You just don't perjure yourself.
So
okay.
So if somebody would have went to you during that time and said, Mary Ellen, what do you think of President Clinton? Should he be impeached?
I had people asking me that all the time. I mean, I said, I wish when I spoke to children in schools, they would ask me if I knew President Clinton. I said, yes, he appointed me. And they would go, like that. I said, I wish he could hear that. Because that tells you how people felt, and I never defended him to the point of I did not stand up and lie for him, never.
do you believe he should have been impeached, Clinton?
Well, I don't think so, because he did not jeopardize the country in any way. This situation is jeopardizing the country. Nixon was jeopardizing our country with what he was doing, and Clinton's thing was totally different.
What did you make of the fallout from the Clinton impeachment? It still follows him to this day.
Yes, it's all the time. I said, in fact, I've told you about this, that John Glenn and I talked about it, and he said, you know, he did such a great job being president, and this will follow him. This will destroy that, what everybody thinks of him. And that's exactly, you forgot what a great job he did as president, and you just remember that.
It's nearly been 20 years since he left office now.
Yeah.
What do you think, because it's pretty well set in stone, more or less, Bill Clinton's legacy will be? Is that going to be in the first paragraph of his obituary?
I don't know if it'll be in the first class, but it'll be, or first, the first paragraph, but it'll be in there somewhere. Yeah.
We've only had two presidents up until this point impeached, because people forget Nixon left before that vote happened.
Yeah, Andrew Johnson.
Andrew Johnson.
What did he do?
He did something they told him that he could not, because he had taken over for Lincoln, and there was something he was not supposed to do. I don't remember the specifics, but he told him, I'm going to do it anyway.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, and so they impeached him. But it's interesting, because both presidents, Clinton and Johnson, who were actually impeached, neither one was removed.
No.
So does that look pretty good for President Trump?
Well, it's a chance.
So this process of now 45 presidents, it's never actually went all the way. It's never actually led to somebody's removal. I think about that, because
yeah,
I think the fact that...
Well, you know, who knows what's going to happen? We don't know.
Well, and this is what I wanted to ask you. How much, because this has never happened. It didn't happen with Clinton. It didn't happen with Johnson. They were both lame duck presidents at the time. They were not up for re-election.
Right. That's right.
Trump is.
Yeah. Right.
Is that going to play into those Republicans who may think he's guilty, but they're going to say, geez, we're going to lose the White House if we do this?
Well, that's what they're worried about. Yeah, they don't want to lose the White House, and they'll say anything to keep from losing the White House. That's what's so terrible.
Do you think if Trump was in his second term and did not have another election to run, that they would remove him?
Yeah, I think they would, because they're afraid he's going to say about him if they go against him. Yeah.
Well, this brings up another problem for the Democrats, because... And most people do believe that he will be impeached, which again is not removal, but impeachment. There has to be a trial in the Senate. This is not something that anybody can stop. So as it looks, this trial is going to happen during election year.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably going to take the Democratic primaries off all of the front pages, because I would imagine this will be the story.
Yeah.
Is that bad for the Democrats to not have the attention that would normally be there?
Well, you know, what I think the worst thing about this is the fact that if he is elected for a second term, and he has done things that are against the law, the length of time that it goes before they can... He's past that time length where they can prosecute. What's it called?
Statute of limitations.
Yeah, statute of limitations will have taken place. I think that's the worst thing that could happen. If for another 4 years of him, he'll have us destroyed.
Well, this was another... I can't remember. We had this on air last week, but there's so many moving parts in this particular thing, because a lot of people felt... Because it was Barry Goldwater, I think, Republican senator, who went to Nixon and said, you don't have the votes, you don't want to push this, and that's why Nixon resigned.
Yeah, right.
But in this particular case, let's say for some reason, because of these hearings or public polls, that the Senate got turned against Trump. Would he resign because, different than Nixon, Trump has crimes against him in New York State, which it's my understanding he cannot be pardoned for because it's a state crime. Mm-hmm. As soon as he's no longer president,
they'll
prosecute him.
Yeah, right.
So if most people were him, I doubt they would resign. I think they would see it out.
Yeah.
So do you think there's any chance that he would ever resign?
They say that he's not going to ever quit. He'll keep right on. He'll say it was false news, that his election was false news, that he really won if he loses.
Do you think that people will believe it in this climate?
I suppose some will,
yeah.
You know. But my goodness, it's just like this guy down in, is it Alabama, that lost by 5,000, where was it? He lost by 5,000 votes and he won't give up?
Yeah.
Where was that?
I think that somewhere southern, some southern state.
Yeah, can you imagine losing by 5,000 votes and you won't give up?
What do you think that is? Is that ego or?
Yeah, it's just he won't give up.
He just will not throw in the towel anymore.
Yeah.
Are elections that fierce?
Oh, they're fierce. Yeah. They're very fierce. Yeah.
You have some people who will take it that way, lose by 5,000 votes and continue on. And then you have some people who will say before the election ever comes in, I don't want a recount. I'm not going to do it. I don't know that either of these things is the best way to handle it.
No. I think you try to do it by the law. I mean, if it's within a certain percentage, you can have a recount, you should do it.
Coming back to local elections here for a second, what did you make? There were two city council seats that were decided under 10 votes.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, yeah. Are they going to have a recount?
Well, it's my understanding, and I hope I have this right, that in the Marion County rules, or Marion City rules, say that you have to be under half a percentage point to get a mandatory recount. Neither one of these were because of the low voter turnout. But there are provisionals, and I think there are 17 in the first ward, which was only decided by 4 votes, and there are 26 in the fifth ward, which was only decided by 8 votes. Now, and it's also my understanding that provisionals tend to go Democrat. I don't know the reason for that, but that more provisional votes tend to be Democratic than Republican. I'm not sure why, but that's what we know at this point. So the Tara Dyer race in the fifth ward, that could turn.
Yeah.
There's enough votes there to do that.
Yeah.
And the Kai Mead win in the also could turn toward the Republican.
Yeah.
That must be horrible, having to sit here and wait that out.
Yes. I would think it would be terrible. Yeah.
The old adage that we've all heard for years, my vote doesn't count.
Yeah, you don't ever say that. Yeah. It does.
When you see races like that, you have to say, boy, I think something counted.
Yeah. You know, I vote absentee now, and I'm always concerned after hearing statements that were made about Florida and how there were votes sitting around in the corners of rooms. I just hope that my vote is counted. If anybody on the Board of Elections is listening, I just hope my vote was counted.
Well, it's so interesting now, because I voted in my polling place, and we do have a new system in Marion.
Yeah.
And it's a little complicated that you have to, you get a piece of paper with a barcode on it, and then you go over and you scan that into the machine. And then you vote, push button, and then the end, it spits out a receipt, and then you have to take that receipt over to another machine to turn it in. I'm sure that's more effective.
What's the name of the machine? Do you know?
I don't know.
Because that was always such a big point of interest back about 10-20 years ago when Al Gore, yeah, that was, I was trying to think, they said everybody should have this certain machine.
Wasn't it D-Bolt?
Yeah.
D-Bolt.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, you got a good memory. Yeah. I couldn't remember what the name was. Yeah.
Well, the reason I remember that is I remember it happened during Al Gore's election, but then during John Kerry and Bush, there was some interest in those machines that maybe they weren't on the level.
Yeah.
That's what I wonder. Everything going electronic, which is obviously where we've all went now with these voting machines, is that for the best with now knowing that foreign entities are trying to get into our voting machines?
I don't know. How would you do it otherwise?
Could we? I mean, they did paper ballots for a long time. I would take more people to count them. It'd probably take a longer time to do it.
Well, we counted them by hand when I was on the election.
Oh.
I worked the election for about 4 years in the very beginning of my voting life.
Did it take a long time?
It took a long time. You're like going home at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the person in charge had to take it to Marion and post it. But you know what I think about when you talk about this is, I think it was John Isler was running for county commissioner, and I think it was him. I could have the wrong person, but I don't think so. And he noticed that in his own precinct, he didn't have enough votes. And he complained, and here somebody had programmed the computer wrong. And if he hadn't caught it, they had, and it's all in your programming, whether things come out correctly or not.
Well, that's what I wonder. Since we've went to electronic balloting, which I think was in the purpose of efficiency.
Yeah.
Have we given up something, not just interference by a foreign entity, but can there be a glitch? Can we lose?
Yeah, you can. There's always a chance for mistakes, but say people are counting these individually like we used to do, you're still going to have mistakes. They had mistakes too.
When the paper ballots were out, how did we get mistakes? Was it just people?
There's always voting that you're not sure who they voted for, the way they marked it. Hmm. Remember that guy looking at that vote down in Florida? And I always think about him.
Oh, well, and here we are. Is there any way to fix this problem, period?
I don't know.
We go to the polls, yeah. And it's people's right,
yeah.
And we want to be right.
Yes,
we want
right.
to get the right person
right.
in,
yeah.
But it doesn't seem like we can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very confusing.
Yeah.
What do you make? You talked about Mayor Schertzer being elected to a fourth term. Only one other mayor ever to do that was Jack Kellogg. How do you think he's doing?
Well, Mayor I think Schertzer. He's doing great. I think he's doing a great job. I felt that he should win, and he did.
Do you think, and not specifically talking about Mayor Schertzer here, but do you think, because there is a topic of discussion in Washington about this right now, do you think that all political offices should have some kind of term limit on it, no matter what it is?
It's an interesting discussion. There's so many people in Congress that shouldn't be there anymore. Some of the people that were on my that voted for me in the finance committee are still on there. Grassley and Hatch just left, and that's a long time. You're talking 30 years almost, and you go to Washington, you like it there, and you don't want to leave, and that's the situation. They go there hoping to make a big difference, and then they just join in with the rest of the crowd, and they don't voice their opinion anymore, and it's sad.
You know, I don't think I've ever asked you this in all the interviews we've done. I know that you had served under Clinton as 40th treasurer. You'd already talked to Vice President Gore that if he were going to win, that you would continue in that position. When that didn't happen, when Gore was not made president and you knew you were leaving, were you ever approached or did you ever think of running for something else? Because you did want to continue in politics at that point.
Yeah. Well, while I was still U.S. Treasurer, I was called every day to run for governor here in Ohio. And I thought, why would I want to do that when I've got a really good job? And then, of course, it all comes to an end. You never know who's going to win the election. Of course, I think Al Gore did win the election. It's one of those situations with Electoral College. And I think we should do away with the Electoral College because we've had two elections in the last 20 years that have said, you know, you want to see the person win that's got the most votes. That's, to me, that's where you're at, what you're after.
There is a question now, I think partially because she's out on a book tour right now with her daughter, Hillary Clinton and Chelsea Clinton, but she's making some statements about the president, and she's making some statements about the Democratic candidates, Tulsi Gabbard being one of them.
Yeah, I'm
that
kidding.
Are a little blowback.
Right.
What should Hillary Clinton do at this point? Because some people love her, they love to hear from her, and others in her own party say, go away, stop this.
Well, that statement she made about Gibbard, I just wonder what she knows that we don't know. I mean, why would she make that statement? That, to me, is a real mystery.
The paraphrase, and for those who didn't hear the statement, Hillary Clinton said that Tulsi Gabbard, who is not doing very well in the Democratic primaries, said that she is a Russian asset. I think unwittingly, I don't think she's saying that Gabbard is trying to work with the Russians, but that the Russians favor her and that she might run as a third-party candidate to offset the Democrats.
Yeah, to disrupt it, Well... I don't know what's going to happen with this group that's running.
Well, now that we've been through a few of these debates, is this the Democratic field you would like to have seen?
Well, there's nobody. Everybody's in there that I would want to see. I'll put it that way. I don't know how it's going to end up, but it's certainly interesting what's happening. And now Bloomberg, I don't know what's going to happen to him.
Yeah.
I don't know Bloomberg, but they say he's not very personable, and they say he's going to, you know, try to buy the election. I don't know, but, I think he's worried. I think he doesn't want Trump, and everybody's scared to death we're going to have him again, you know, so.
Well, this, I've never seen this before, but last week, well, it was just late in the week, Thursday or Friday, we learned that Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York City, very popular mayor in New York City, who is a like $30 billion or something.
No, it's 52.
50 billion?
52.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And a self-made guy.
Yeah, from, yeah, the Bloomberg. Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, is looking into running for president, even at this late date, because, my understanding, I don't think he said this publicly, but he feels the Democratic candidates are not good, cannot win, and that's why he wants to get in.
Yeah, I think he's worried about Biden, yeah. But Biden's still up there Biden still has the black vote.
What do you think, what is the problem with Biden and fundraising at this point?
Well, I felt that this situation that's going on in the Ukraine is going to have an effect. Whether that's causing it or people are starting to look at different candidates now. You know, they automatically looked at Joe Biden in the beginning because he had been vice president. He was so well known. And there's still, I think, a feeling against women. I hate to say that, but I hear it, you know. I just feel that people are making a mistake by not choosing who they really want, you know, because of that.
We're down to about the final 4 minutes in this hour. We have Mary Ellen for a whole nother hour, and there's a whole lot of stuff you want to stick around for, because we're going to talk about should Hunter Biden testify? There's some question about that right now. Is this going to hurt Joe Biden when this hearing starts? Because his name's going to be thrown around quite a bit without question. We're going to talk about some people who are no longer in the race. We're going to talk about an interesting subject that I'll ask the question and we'll go to from there. That you'll want to hear this, the answer to this question, I'm sure of it, because it's a news story this past weekend. But what happened to Beto O'Rourke?
He came out waving his arms too much.
This guy, they said he was John Kennedy.
Yeah, I know.
He was born to do the job. Obama sent his people down to work for him.
Yeah,
and he's gone.
Yeah, well, they just didn't grab a hold of him outside of Texas.
Was the nail in his coffin his stance on guns?
Could have been. Yeah. You know, I liked him when he was running in 2018 for the office that he was running for. Then it was the Senate, Cruz. Yeah. Oh yes, everybody wanted to beat Cruz. So now there's some serious people he's running with. You know that are doing well. We've got really good people running for president, and they just need to keep working at it.
I couldn't figure him exiting, because he wasn't in last place, and there are a lot of people below him who are still in it. Do you think there might be some vice presidential aspirations there?
Could be, but wasn't it Castro that attacked him in that last debate?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that had some effect.
What do you make of our Ohio guy, Tim Ryan? He never got really any traction.
No, he didn't get going. He had a rough way to go, yeah.
And like I say, next hour, Mary Ellen will stick around, and we've got a whole lot to talk about. And one question we're going to ask Mary Ellen, and we'll tease it here, is we're not going to answer it till next hour, but what did she make of our former Governor Kasich saying he's for impeachment all of a sudden? We're gonna ask Mary Ellen about that next hour. We do have about a minute left, though. How do you think the current governor is doing, Mike DeWine? He's been in about a year now.
Well, of course, I did not support Mike DeWine, but he's doing all right.
Mm-hmm. When's the last time, in your opinion, Ohio had a bad governor? I know you didn't support them all, but when have we...
Well, you know, you go back to Rhodes. I don't think Rhodes was a bad governor. The last time he ran, of course, he ran against Celeste, who was much younger. Rhodes was a little bit too old to run at that point. And I can't go farther back than Rhodes because I can't remember. You know, I gave a speech at the Historical Society about people that had run for governor, and this Victor Donahue had run for governor in 1922 against Carmi Thompson, and Donahue won, and it was the father-in-law to Gertrude Donahue that I followed in office. And I thought, with her father-in-law having been governor, what an easy way she had to get into that office, and how I had nobody in my life that had ever run for office. I came from nowhere, and I was just putting a comparison there to how all that was so different for her.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. We got a break for news and weather, but Mary Ellen Withrow is the guest. Couldn't have a better guest. Always a good time with Mary Ellen. We've got a whole nother hour. Don't forget, what does she think of Kasich, a Republican governor, saying that Trump should be impeached? And the big question, I can't wait to hear the answer to, and you won't want to miss that. We've had fun with this one before. So stay tuned. We'll be back in about 10 minutes.
But I'll tell you, Scott, it's one of the easiest things in the world. And I wish with all the things they have going on about doing this and doing that, if we were all just to each other. Think of yourself in relationship to other people. And they go through the same things you do. And just be kind. It's so easy. It's so simple. And I've seen rooms change because somebody was kind. And that's